All right, so today we're going on a deep dive into Cohens v. Virginia. I'm sure you're all familiar with the idea that federal law, you know, is supreme over state law.
Right.
But, you know, sometimes things aren't so clear-cut. Like, what happens when you throw in the unique legal status of Washington, D.C.? And just for kicks, add a dash of good old-fashioned gambling. Well, that's exactly the situation in Cohens v. Virginia. It's an 1821 Supreme Court case that's way more interesting than it sounds at first.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, it boils down to what seems like a pretty simple question on the surface. Can you sell lottery tickets from D.C. and Virginia where they're banned? But the implications are huge. You're talking about the balance of power between the federal government and the states, and the Supreme Court kind of flexing its muscles to establish its role as the ultimate interpreter of the Constitution.
So set the stage for us. What exactly happened in this case?
Well, we had two brothers, the Cohens. They ended up in court convicted in Virginia for selling lottery tickets.
Okay.
Sounds pretty straightforward, right? Except the lottery they were selling tickets for was authorized by Congress for the District of Columbia. So that's where things get a little spicy.
So Virginia was not happy about this. They basically told the Supreme Court, like, hey, you can't touch this. That's pretty gutsy, right?
Yeah, it was a very bold move. Virginia was essentially arguing that the Supreme Court had no business reviewing their state court decisions, especially when it came to criminal matters. They were really trying to fiercely defend their state sovereignty.
Okay, so did the Supreme Court back down?
Not a chance.
Yeah.
You had Chief Justice John Marshall, a giant in American legal history. He pretty much shut down Virginia's argument. He really asserted the Supreme Court's authority as the final word on federal law. And this wasn't just about lottery tickets anymore. This was about the entire structure of the American legal system.
Wow, it's a big statement. So the Supreme Court was like, we're in charge.
Right. Marshall really understood that without this power, you would have total chaos. You'd have 50 different interpretations of the Constitution, one for each state.
Oh, wow. That's okay. So the Supreme Court steps in, but, you know.
Yeah.
The Cohens were selling these D.C. lottery tickets in Virginia, where they were banned. So you think, okay, well, federal law automatically wins.
Right. You would think that. But that's where this case gets tricky. The court actually said, hold on. Congress's power over D.C., while it's expansive, it doesn't just extend beyond D.C.'s borders automatically. The law that authorized the D.C. lottery didn't specifically say that it overrides state laws banning out-of-state lottery sales.
So wait, even though Congress created the lottery, the Cohens still lost. That's a twist.
It is a little bit of a twist, but the court wasn't trying to undermine federal power here. What they were doing is they were laying down a very specific principle. Federal supremacy only kicks in when there's a clear and undeniable conflict between federal and state law. And in this case, the lines were a little bit blurred.
So even though the lottery was perfectly legal in D.C., Virginia's ban still held up because the federal law didn't explicitly overrule it. That's a pretty nuanced decision.
It is. And you know what's interesting about Cohens v. Virginia is it's not just some dusty old case about gambling. It established this crucial principle that the Supreme Court has the authority to review state court decisions when federal law is involved. And that has shaped the balance of power between the federal government and the states for over two centuries.
Talk about a case that packs a punch. Who knew lottery tickets could cause such a big legal showdown?
It goes to show you that sometimes these seemingly small cases can have huge implications for the law. And that's exactly what makes Cohens v. Virginia so fascinating. It's a case that continues to shape legal debates today.
Okay, so the Supreme Court basically lays down the law, but the Cohens still lose.
Yeah.
But this isn't just about, you know, who gets to sell lottery tickets and where. This is about federalism, that dance between federal power and state autonomy.
Exactly. Cohens v. Virginia really illustrates that dance beautifully. The states have the power to govern themselves. But when they bump up against federal law, the Constitution and federal law are the boss.
So it's like this hierarchy of laws. Federal law sits at the top. But states, they have a lot of leeway as long as they don't directly contradict those federal statutes.
Exactly. And that's what makes Cohens such a foundational case. It really helps define the boundaries of that hierarchy. It's a reminder that the American legal system is complex and oftentimes messy, a web of overlapping authorities.
Yeah, and it's interesting how a case from 1821 about something as seemingly, you know, insignificant as lottery tickets can still have such a big impact on how we understand the law today.
It really is. It's a case with a long legal ripple effect. It's reached across the centuries.
So we've established Cohens v. Virginia is a landmark case. Mm-hmm. It has major implications for federalism. But I'm curious, how did this actually play out in the courtroom? Like, what were the main arguments from each side?
Well, the Cohens' main argument rested on the Supremacy Clause of the Constitution. They were essentially saying, hey, Congress gave us the green light to sell these lottery tickets so Virginia can't stop us. They believed federal law trumped state law in this instance.
Okay, that seems pretty straightforward. What else did they argue?
Well, they also pointed to Congress's broad power over the District of Columbia. They argued that this power extended to authorizing the sale of lottery tickets, even outside of D.C.'s borders. They were really pushing for a very expansive view of Congress's authority.
Okay, so the Cohens were all about federal power. What about Virginia? How did they defend their conviction?
Well, Virginia came back swinging. They invoked the 10th Amendment. They basically said, hold on, the 10th Amendment reserves all powers not specifically given to the federal government to the states. So they were fiercely defending state sovereignty.
So basically they were saying, hey, we have the right to govern ourselves and the feds can't overstep their boundaries.
Exactly. They argued that Congress had exceeded its authority by trying to regulate activities within Virginia's borders. And they didn't stop there. They also emphasized the harmful nature of lotteries, claiming that they were a vice that corrupted public morals.
So they were pulling out all the stops. They argued states' rights, congressional overreach, and then they even threw in some moral arguments against lotteries.
They did. They were making a comprehensive case, arguing that they had the right and responsibility to protect their citizens from the perceived evils of gambling. It was a clash of legal and moral principles. That really went to the heart of the balance of power in this young nation.
Wow, talk about a legal showdown. It sounds like a constitutional tug of war. Both sides pulling hard on their respective principles.
It really was, and the Supreme Court was stuck right in the middle, tasked with deciding who gets to pull harder.
Okay, so we've heard both sides of the story. The Cohens waving the flag for federal supremacy, Virginia standing firm on states' rights. So what did the Supreme Court do? How did they unravel this constitutional knot?
Well, the Supreme Court, in a unanimous decision, did something pretty remarkable. They acknowledged the importance of states' rights and the concept of limited federal power, but they also delivered a resounding affirmation of the Supreme Court's own authority.
So they were threading the needle, trying to uphold both federal and state power.
Exactly. They did so by focusing on the concept of judicial review, the power of the courts to examine laws and government actions to determine if they're constitutional.
So essentially, the Supreme Court was saying, we're the referees here. We get to decide how the Constitution is interpreted and applied, even when states are involved.
Exactly. And that in itself was a major victory for the Supreme Court. They established themselves as the ultimate interpreters of the Constitution, a principle that shapes the American legal landscape to this day.
So they were kind of asserting their own power, while also acknowledging the importance of state sovereignty.
Yeah. It was some impressive legal juggling.
It really was.
Cohens v. Virginia is really a masterclass in legal reasoning and constitutional interpretation. It's a case that demonstrates the complexity of American federalism and that delicate balance of power between the national government and the states.
Okay, so the Supreme Court kind of throws its weight around.
Yeah.
But what about the Cohens? Did they walk away free?
Well, here's the catch. While the Supreme Court solidified its authority to review state court decisions involving federal law, they ultimately upheld the Cohens' conviction.
So wait, the Supreme Court flexes its muscles. But the guys who brought the case still lose. What gives?
Well, remember, the Supreme Court wasn't deciding whether lotteries were good or bad, or whether the Cohens were right or wrong to sell tickets in Virginia. They were focused on the legal principles at play, specifically the concept of preemption.
Right, preemption. That idea that federal law can override state law when they clash. But didn't we just say that federal law is supreme? Why didn't that apply here?
Well, this is where things get really nuanced. The Supreme Court said, look, Congress's power over the District of Columbia doesn't automatically extend to activities that take place in other states. And the law authorizing the D.C. lottery, it didn't explicitly say that it superseded state laws against selling out-of-state lottery tickets.
So even though the lottery was legal in D.C., Virginia's ban on out-of-state sales still stood because there was no clear conflict with federal law. So the court was basically saying, Congress, if you want to override state laws, you need to be really clear about it.
Exactly. It's like a game of legal chess.
Yeah.
The Supreme Court set this precedent. Federal law is supreme, but only when it directly and explicitly contradicts state law. In Cohens, the conflict wasn't clear-cut enough.
So the Cohens gambled. And they lost not just on their lottery tickets, but also on their legal argument. But you know what their case did? It helped solidify some pretty big legal principles about the Supreme Court's authority. and the boundaries of federalism.
It did, and that's what makes Cohen's v. Virginia so compelling. On the surface, it seems simple, but it delves into some of the most fundamental questions about power and authority in the American system of government. It really does. Cohen's v. Virginia really throws a spotlight on, you know, just how intricate our legal system can be, and it's a case that echoes, you know, through legal battles even today.
Absolutely. So we've got this, you know, big picture view of Cohen's and its impact, but I'm curious about the people at the heart of it all. Who were these Cohen's brothers? What made them decide to challenge Virginia's law?
Well, you know, the historical record is a little bit shy on the personal details about Philip and Mendez Cohen. We know they were likely merchants or businessmen working in D.C., and they saw an opportunity to make some money by selling D.C. lottery tickets where there was a demand, Virginia.
So they were like entrepreneurs, spotting a business opportunity and going for it, even if it meant, you know, pushing the boundaries of the law.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it's pretty remarkable that their case ended up shaping constitutional law. Talk about a gamble that paid off even if they didn't win the case itself.
It's like they accidentally stumble into a constitutional crisis all because of some lottery tickets.
Right. And it just goes to show that sometimes even ordinary people can have a huge impact on the legal landscape.
Speaking of huge impact, we can't talk about Cohen's v. Virginia without talking about Chief Justice John Marshall. I mean, he was a major force in shaping the Supreme Court, wasn't he?
Oh, absolutely. John Marshall was Chief Justice for over three decades. And during that time, he was involved in some of the most defining moments in American legal history. Cases like Marbur v. Madison, McCulloch v. Maryland, and of course, Cohen's v. Virginia.
Yeah, he was more than just a brilliant legal mind, though, right?
Yeah.
I mean, from what I've read, he was also a pretty savvy politician.
Oh, you're absolutely right. Marshall was a master strategist. He understood how to use the power of the Supreme Court, not just to interpret the law, but to actually mold it and influence the direction of the country.
So in Cohen's, when he asserted the court's power to review state court decisions, he wasn't just calling a legal play. He was making a power move.
Precisely. And it was a move that didn't sit well with everyone. States' rights advocates saw it as a direct threat to their autonomy.
So Marshall was basically saying, this is how it's going to be. The Supreme Court has the final say. He was laying the groundwork for the court's role as we know it today.
Exactly. And he wasn't afraid to step on some toes to do it. He firmly believed that a strong national government was essential for the young nation to thrive. And he used the court to advance that vision.
Okay, so he was a strong Federalist, but in Cohen's, he sided with Virginia, a state that was pushing back against federal power. Does that seem a little contradictory?
It might seem that way at first glance, but it actually speaks to the complexity of Marshall's legal philosophy. He was a strong advocate for federal power, but he also deeply respected the Constitution and the limits it placed on the government, even the federal government.
So it's not that he was against federal power. It's that he believed in wielding that power within the boundaries outlined by the Constitution.
Exactly. And that's why his decision in Cohen's is so fascinating. It wasn't a black and white issue of federal versus state power. It was about interpreting congressional intent and upholding this principle that Congress needs to be clear and explicit if it wants to override state laws.
So Marshall was a nationalist, but he was also a staunch constitutionalist.
Yeah.
He believed in a strong national government, but one that operated within its proper sphere of authority.
You got it. And Cohen's v. Virginia highlights that delicate balance beautifully.
Okay, let's zoom out a bit and talk about federalism, which is kind of the main event in Cohen's v. Virginia. It's this, you know, intricate dance between federal power and state autonomy.
Well, federalism is a core principle of American government, and Cohen's is a perfect example of how it works in practice. You have this system of shared sovereignty where both the federal government and the states have their own areas of authority.
Right. And of course, the Constitution outlines what the federal government can do and what's left to the states.
That's right. The Constitution lays out these powers that are given to the federal government. Things like regulating interstate commerce, declaring war, coining money. And anything not specifically given to the feds is reserved for the states or the people.
Right. It's like this carefully choreographed routine where the federal government and the states each have their own steps to perform. But sometimes those steps get tangled up.
And that's exactly what happened in Cohen's, right? We have the federal government saying, okay, D.C. can have a lottery. And Virginia saying, hold up, we don't want those lottery tickets crossing our state lines.
A classic federalism showdown.
So how did the Supreme Court untangle that mess?
Well, they went back to the Constitution and the principle of preemption. Remember, preemption means federal law can overrule state law when there's a direct conflict. But for preemption to happen, the conflict has to be crystal clear. In Cohen's, the court concluded that Congress hadn't been specific enough in the law authorizing the D.C. lottery to trigger preemption. So it wasn't enough for Congress to just create a lottery in D.C. They had to specifically say, hey, states, you can't ban the sale of these tickets within your borders.
Precisely. And because Congress didn't do that, Virginia's ban held up. It was a victory for state sovereignty. But also a reminder to Congress to be super clear about their intentions when they're dealing with issues that might bump up against state laws.
So even though the Supreme Court asserted its authority to review state court decisions, they also acknowledged the importance of state power, as long as it doesn't directly clash with federal law.
Exactly. Cohen's v. Virginia is a masterclass in navigating the complexities of American federalism. It's a case that reminds us that the balance of power between the federal government and the states is constantly being tested and refined.
Okay, let's dive into a specific aspect of federalism that pops up in Cohen's. The idea of police power. It's kind of like the secret weapon of state sovereignty, isn't it?
You could say that. Police power is this bedrock principle in American law, and it's all about a state's inherent right to protect its citizens and to keep things running smoothly.
So things like passing criminal laws, regulating public health, setting building codes, that's all police power.
You got it. It's a broad power that lets states address a whole bunch of issues that affect the well-being of their people.
And this power, the police power, is mostly in the hands of the states, right?
That's right. Remember the 10th Amendment. It says any powers not specifically given to the federal government are kept by the states or the people. And that includes police power.
Okay, so we've got this division of power. The feds have their, you know, limited defined powers. And the states have this broader authority to look after their citizens.
That's the essence of American federalism.
But how does police power fit into Cohen's v. Virginia?
Well, Virginia argued that their ban on out-of-state lottery tickets was a perfectly legal use of their police power. They said lotteries were bad news, morally corrupting, and they had every right to protect their people from them.
So they were basically saying, we have the power to say no to lotteries because they're not good for our folks.
Yeah, precisely. They were flexing their police power muscles, saying they could regulate for the public good, even if it meant going up against a federal law.
But the Supreme Court didn't just rubber stamp Virginia's police power argument, did they?
Nope, they didn't. While they acknowledged Virginia's police power, they also made it clear that this power isn't unlimited. It has to operate within the framework of the Constitution and federal law.
So it's like, yes, states, you have this power to protect your citizens, but there are boundaries. You can't use it to just ignore federal law.
That's a great way to put it. The court was saying there needs to be this balance between state police power and federal authority.
And in Cohen's, they decided that Congress hadn't stepped on Virginia's toes clearly enough to trigger preemption.
Right. Remember, the court found that the federal law authorizing the D.C. lottery didn't specifically say anything about overriding state bans on out-of-state lottery sales. So Virginia's ban stayed in place.
So even though Virginia won the Supreme Court, wasn't giving states a free pass to just disregard federal law, they were just saying that in this specific case, Congress hadn't been clear enough about their intentions.
Exactly. Cohen's v. Virginia highlights this constant balancing act between state and federal power. It's a reminder that American federalism is a dynamic and evolving system. Mm-hmm. It's a delicate dance, but it's, you know, that's what makes American federalism so fascinating, this constant, you know, negotiation between the national and the state level governments.
Okay, so let's switch gears for a sec and talk about something that I think often gets overlooked in these big legal cases. Public opinion. I mean, it's not all about, you know, was written the Constitution right.
Mm-hmm.
The social and cultural context matters too.
Oh, you're absolutely right. Public opinion can have a huge influence on how the law is interpreted and applied, even if it doesn't, you know, directly determine the outcome of a case.
Okay, so what was the public mood like back in 1821? You know, when it came to lotteries, were they seen as like a harmless pastime? Or like a, you know, social evil?
Well, lotteries were actually a pretty hot topic in the early republic. You had some people who saw them as a fun way to raise money for public projects. But others viewed them as a moral hazard, you know? They thought they preyed on the poor. They encouraged gambling addiction.
Oh, wow. So there was this, you know, moral dimension to the debate, kind of like what we see today with issues like, you know, gambling or marijuana legalization.
Exactly. It's fascinating how these seemingly simple issues like lotteries can really tap into, you know, these deeper societal anxieties and divisions.
Yeah. And so, yeah, these, you know, religious groups and social reformers who are railing against lotteries, But I mean, there must have been people who supported them too, right?
Definitely. There were folks who argued that, you know, lotteries were a legitimate form of entertainment and a good way to fund public projects. They thought people should be free to choose whether or not to participate, and that government shouldn't interfere.
So there's this classic debate about individual liberty versus government regulation, a debate that's still going strong today.
Absolutely. A recurring theme in American history.
Now, how did this, you know, public debate about lotteries influence the Cohen v. Virginia case? Did the Supreme Court, you know, take public opinion into account when making their decision?
Well, you know, while the court's decision doesn't explicitly mention public opinion, it's hard to imagine that the justices were completely oblivious to the social context. I mean, they were living in that world too, and they surely knew that, you know, lotteries were a controversial issue.
Right. So even though public opinion wasn't, you know, a formal part of their legal reasoning, it might have kind of, you know, influenced their thinking in subtle ways.
It's certainly possible the court isn't this, you know, isolated ivory tower institution. They're part of society, and they're, you know, influenced by the same social and cultural currents as everyone else.
It's a good reminder that, you know, legal decisions aren't made in a vacuum. There's always this broader context that shapes how the law is interpreted and applied.
Exactly. The law is a living, breathing thing, and it's constantly evolving in response to the, you know, changing needs and values of society.
So we've kind of explored the historical context and the public opinion surrounding Cohen v. Virginia. But, you know, this deep dive wouldn't be complete without talking about the case's, you know, long-term impact. So what's its legacy? How has it been viewed over time?
Cohen v. Virginia is widely regarded as a landmark case in American constitutional law. It's a staple in law school classrooms, and it's frequently cited in legal arguments, even today.
Yeah, and I can see why. I mean, this case, yeah, it touches on so many foundational principles of American law. Federalism, judicial review, the scope of congressional power.
Exactly. It grappled with these core concepts that are still very relevant today, and its influence can be seen in countless cases that have come after it.
Can you give us like some specific examples of how Cohen's has shaped, you know, later legal developments?
Oh, sure. The principles that were established in Cohen's have been cited in tons of cases that involve challenges to state laws, you know, state laws that were seen as conflicting with federal law.
So it's been used to both uphold and reject federal preemption.
Yeah.
It kind of just depends on the specific circumstances.
Exactly. Cohen's provided a framework for analyzing these conflicts, but it didn't create a rigid rule. You know, it recognized that the balance between federal and state power is really complex, and it needs to be assessed on a case-by-case basis.
And that flexibility is kind of what makes Cohen so enduring, right? You know, the relationship between the federal government and the state is always evolving. So a case that like lays down a strict, inflexible rule wouldn't be very helpful today.
I totally agree. Cohen v. Virginia, you know, provided this valuable guidance, but it also acknowledged the need for nuance and adaptability in applying these principles of federalism.
Are there any other areas of law where Cohen's has had a significant impact? I mean, it's amazing to me that a case about lottery tickets could have, you know, these far-reaching implications.
It is really amazing. And you're right, Cohen's has popped up in some unexpected places. For instance, it's been cited in cases that deal with the 11th Amendment, which, you know, limits the ability of individuals to sue states in federal court.
Right, so Cohen's, which was about lotteries and federalism, has somehow influenced how we interpret the 11th Amendment.
It has. The principles of state sovereignty that were so central to Cohen's, they've informed the court's thinking about the 11th Amendment and the scope of state immunity from lawsuits.
It's like a legal butterfly effect. A case about something as seemingly trivial as lottery tickets ends up shaping our understanding of like completely different areas of law.
It's a great reminder that, you know, legal principles have a way of rippling outward. They influence legal interpretations in ways that you might not expect. And that's what makes the study of law so fascinating. It's all interconnected.
Okay, so I think we've, you know, we've thoroughly explored the depths of Cohen v. Virginia. We've covered, you know, the historical context, the legal arguments, the Supreme Court's decision, and the case's lasting legacy. It's been, you know, an incredible journey through this landmark case that, you know, continues to shape American law and government.
It's been a pleasure to dive into this case with you and to, you know, share its insights with our listeners.
I agree. And for our listeners, I hope this deep dive is giving you a fresh perspective on this seemingly simple case about lottery tickets that turned into a constitutional showdown with these really far-reaching consequences.
It certainly has. Cohen's v. Virginia is a reminder that even the most mundane cases can have, you know, these profound and lasting impacts. And it's a testament to the power of ideas and principles to shape the course of history.
So until next time, keep those legal minds engaged and never stop exploring the fascinating world of law.